you'd like to stand with us, turn to number 95. Number 95. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and save. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last.
I want to ask your prayers today as we come together here in this memorial service. I want to read some scripture from the 19th chapter of the book of Numbers. If you have your Bibles today and want to read with me, turn to Numbers chapter 19, and I want to begin reading there with the first verse. Read about 10 verses. So Numbers chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh, and her blood with her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the even. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. That's reading from Numbers chapter 19, verses 1 through 10 for a scripture reading. And there is so much that could be said about this, and perhaps at some time the Lord will give us the liberty and the opportunity to look into these things further. But the main point that I want to focus on in this reading today, and I want to bring before you a message this morning. I really ask for your prayers today. I ask you to pray sincerely that the Lord will help me to say these things in a way that God will be honored and that God will be pleased. I want to bring a message today entitled, Are You Washed? Are You Washed? And if we go back to the scripture reading concerning the burning of the red heifer, in verse 9, it said that a man among them that was clean was to take the ashes of the red heifer and was to lay them up outside of the camp in a clean place. And they were to be kept for, this was to be kept rather for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. And it said it is a purification for sin. And that's what I would like to speak about today, purification from sin. Are you washed? Now, we know that these things that were done under the law, where the Bible here is speaking about the washing that was taking place here and the sprinkling of the ashes of the heifer, we know for a fact that when it said here that it was a purification for sin, we know that this precept, this which was done under the law, this that was done and performed with the ashes of the red heifer, did not take away the stain of sin from their souls. It just didn't do it. We are told very plainly that it did not. If you look in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, I want to read a few verses for you there. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 11 says, "But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of what? Of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" I love the book of Hebrews. I mean, what great rich teachings there are in this book. So many of these things that were done under that old covenant, that were done under that economy, that were done under the law, are explained to us in Paul's writing here to the Hebrews. And they tell us of what they did do and what they did not do. Paul goes on in the next chapter and he says, "It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." It wasn't possible then, it's not possible now. And so I want to ask you today for a little while to think on that question with me, if you would: are you washed? We sing songs about that. We sing one that I believe is probably very familiar to about everybody that's here today. We sing a song about, "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" If you've been saved, you are. And I want us to think about that today and talk about that. You know, when I was studying this, I thought about the fact that I'm sure you're as well aware of this as I am through advertisements, but you know, there are many, many products today available for cleaning. You could go to my house right now And you can look underneath my sink in the cabinet that's underneath my sink, and my wife has got something under there to clean just about everything. And when I get ready to clean something, I don't understand all that, so I will tell her what I want to clean, and she'll say, well, use this or use that. I mean, she's got it down to a science. You know, the reason that there are different products is because they are specially formulated for the type of stain that you're going to try to clean with them. A few weeks ago, when I went and saw my little grandson there in Illinois, the people were working on the road, and I got tar on the underneath side on the rocker panel of my car there. I mean, this black tar, this black oily stuff got all over it. And so I went to Walmart and I started looking all over the shelves, and they said they had this cleaner there. I can't remember what it was called, but they said, this is made to take off tar. And so I bought this cleaner that was formulated for that and took it in and cleaned the tar off my car. If I would have used something else, probably it would not have worked. But they have these different products, and they are especially formulated to clean different types of things. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate to be dirty. I do. I hate to be dirty. When I work, when I get dirty, I mean, for years I was a painter, and I would have paint all over my hands, and sometimes people would ask me, are you putting any paint on the walls? I would have paint all over me. I'd have it on my hands and my clothes and my face and hair. I mean, I got into my work. And I just, you know, it was like I just couldn't wait in the evening to get that paint off me. I just don't like to be dirty. When I look at my car and my car is dirty and it just doesn't look the same to me. I think I can understand the saying that's been around for years that cleanliness is next to godliness. I just don't like to be dirty, and I don't like to see things dirty. But you know, most of all, I don't like to feel spiritually dirty. I mean, what a horrible feeling that it is. You know, when I do something that I know is wrong, I don't feel good about it. I mean, when I do something, when I realize that perhaps I have, maybe I've been neglecting something in my life that I should be doing, you know, at times I have felt like, well, I'm not praying enough. I'm neglecting prayer. I'm not praying as much as I should be. And it makes me feel bad. And I don't like to feel that. And I'm glad that there is something that is able to cleanse us. I'm thankful that there is something that is able to take away our sins. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, that there is only one thing of all of the different ways. And I know that the Bible tells us, and I believe Brother Wheat may have quoted this morning in Sunday school Solomon's statement about how that a man's ways are right in his own eyes. There are many ways that people think are right. There are many ways that seem right unto a man. Solomon also said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so there has only been one and is only one thing that can wash us from our sins. Only one. And we are going to today in a symbol here in this, as we observe this ordinance, that is what we are going to be focused on today. What the Lord did for us that we might be able to be cleansed. Jesus, one time while he was here, you can read in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, when Jesus was here on the earth with his disciples, they had went aside to observe the Passover ordinance. It was a Jewish ordinance. It was instituted in the days of Moses and had been kept by those people for many, many years. For many generations, they had kept the Passover. And Jesus went with his disciples to eat the Passover. And after the Passover supper, the Bible tells us that Jesus rose up and he girded himself with a towel and he filled a basin with water and he began to wash his disciples' feet. And there are some spiritual implications that I want us to talk about and look at in that. But I'll tell you what, every true disciple has been washed by the Lord Jesus. He's washed us. I hope today as we observe this ordinance that we might be able to fix our hearts and our minds upon what the Lord had to do in order to be able to do that for us. And so he began to wash their feet. And, you know, the Apostle Peter, you know, he was always saying things he shouldn't have said, it seems. And so he, you know, he got out of line with Jesus and he said, are you going to wash my feet? In fact, it went on and it tells us that Peter told Jesus, you'll never do that to me. He just didn't think that Jesus should be washing his feet, that Jesus should be humbling himself that way and washing his feet. And so he said to Jesus, you'll not do that. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. Now let me tell you this, from a spiritual standpoint, if Jesus has not washed you, then you don't have any part with him. And so he went on after he told Peter that. He said, and I believe my observation of it is, I believe the Apostle Peter really misunderstood what Jesus was trying to tell him. But when he said that, when Jesus said that to him, Peter said, well, then don't just wash my feet, wash my head, wash my hands. And Jesus said, well, you know, he that is washed need not save but to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And I believe that he was making the point to the Apostle Peter that you've already been washed. You have been washed. There is a spiritual cleansing that has already taken place. But it goes on and it tells us there in those verses in reference to Judas. Jesus said to his disciples, you are washed except for one of you. Those are not the exact words, but that's what he was telling them. You have been washed except for one, in reference there to Judas, who had not been. But those of us that have been saved by the grace of God, you know, we need to try as much as we can. We need to try to understand everything that happened to us when the Lord saved us. I'll tell you what, one by one, I promise you this, by the authority of God's word, one by one, when you came to the Lord, when you came seeking him, when you came to him in repentance and faith, when you trusted the Lord to the salvation of your soul, I'll guarantee you that with every one of us, that in receiving us, he took us and he washed us. And, you know, people can get upset with me if they want to, but I intend to stand on this as long as God will give me breath. To preach his word, I intend to defend this very thing, that water cannot wash away the sin of our soul. It cannot do it. There's only one thing that's able to wash away sins. There's only one thing that's formulated to wash away our sins. There's only one thing that can get down there into your soul and cleanse you in the eyes of God. Only one cleansing agent for sin. The Bible says that without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Fact, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But Paul said the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. The blood of bulls and goats, he said, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. You see, it's not just blood. It's particular blood. It's not the blood of animals. I believe one of the great reasons that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin is because bulls and goats didn't bring sin into the world in the first place. Man did. And it was necessary that man make the atonement. And there was only one man that was qualified to make it. And he came. And he did make it. And I'll tell you what, friends, when the Lord hung on the cross of Calvary, when he hung there suffering, when he hung there dying, there was a fountain opened that is sufficient to wash away the sins of everybody that'll come to him. The Lord washed away my sin when he saved me. He washed me. Paul wrote to Titus, and he spoke there about how that we are saved. And he said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And when he washes us in regeneration, he doesn't wash us in water. He washes us in his blood. In his blood. When I baptized Brother Philip last week, it was the observation of an ordinance that symbolized the washing that God had already given. And that's all it is. It's nothing less than that, and it's nothing more than that. It's a symbol. When I was baptized, it was a symbol there. It's a symbolic cleansing. It's a symbolic washing. I've told the church before, yes, I believe that our sins are washed away in baptism, but not literally, only symbolically. That's what it is. It's a symbol of the washing away of our sins. It is a symbol of what has already taken place in our soul. If you've not been washed by the blood of the Lamb, then you're not clean. I'll tell you, sin has left a stain on our soul. It has. Sin has left a crimson stain. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. How? Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's how. If we could see our soul, which we can't, but if we could see our soul with the visible eye, with our natural eye, we would be, when our soul is lost, we would be looking at something filthy. Friends, I'm telling you, sin is filthy. And it leaves a filthy stain. But, you know, I could ask you today, Brother Ralph, Brother Weed, I could ask a number of you today, since you've been saved by God's grace, do you still sin? I see heads nodding yes. We know that we do, don't we? We know that we still sin. We have not, our bodies, this Adamic nature that we have has not yet been put away, and we're still guilty of sin. And the blood of Christ is still the formula for that. You read in 1 John chapter 1, he said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. When we sin, if we'll go to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I'll tell you what, when you got sin in your life, there's only one remedy. And there's only one thing that can be done. And there's one thing that we all should do. When we've got sin in our lives, we need to get it under the blood. And we need to be washed. But there's a part that God has certainly cleansed, hasn't He? Cleansed and made as white as snow. Jesus loved us. Today, when we approach this table, when we come today to show His death until He comes, we better be able to see the love that's being represented by this, because that was the motivation behind it. The Bible doesn't tell us, perhaps in one of the most quoted verses ever, the Bible doesn't tell us that the world so deserved God that He gave His only begotten Son. Doesn't tell us that. It does tell us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We are not worthy of Him, are we? We are not worthy of what we are about to observe today. We're not worthy of the Lord. But thank God He is gracious. Thank God He has been gracious to us. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's what prompted it. That's what motivated it. In the first chapter of Revelation, in verses 4 and 5, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the princes of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins. In what? In His own blood. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we lived in a neighborhood that was really just being built. We lived in one of the first few houses there. There was a lot of construction going on, and I mean to tell you, I could get out and I could get dirty. I'd come in the evening, and I'd just be covered with dirt. The first thing my mom would tell me, she'd say, get in the bathtub and get cleaned up.
I think there was love in that. I believe that's why she would say that. If she wouldn't have loved me, she wouldn't have cared. She wouldn't have cared how dirty I stayed. The Lord washes us because he loves us. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And before we observe this ordinance, I've got just a couple more verses I want to share with you. Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. When John saw the multitude that no man could number, we find this recorded. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I'll tell you what today, those of us that have been saved, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But the Lord has washed us. He suffered. He died. You know what, today, as we observe this, each one of us, we don't need to just think that the Lord died for the sins of the world. Today, when you take the bread and you receive it, you think the Lord was bruised and beaten and broken for me. For me. When you take the cup and you receive it, you think the Lord gave his life there, gave his blood there on the cross for me. Salvation's personal, isn't it? It's personal. Washed us, made our robes white in the blood of the Lamb. I'd like to ask the deacons if they would to come at this time and prepare the table. I appreciate your attention today. Remember, conference tonight at 6. I want to ask all of the members of Fairview Memorial to please stand, if you would, and we are going to observe this ordinance. This is about Jesus. He's who it's about. He left this ordinance to his church to be used to remember him. Today we remember the Lord Jesus. In this we reflect upon his broken body and his shed blood. As Jesus was observing the Passover with his disciples, the Bible tells us that he took bread and he blessed it. And so I want to ask Brother Strode if he would to say the blessing over the bread.
Thank you. shame that you went through for us. Help us now, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct. Bless these requests. In your name, we beg these things. And amen.
Amen. The Bible tells us that after he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. Jesus said to them, "Take, eat, this is my body." Afterward, he took the cup and he gave thanks also. And I'm going to ask Brother Collins if he would give thanks for the cup.
Thank you.
gave the cup to his disciples. Jesus told his disciples, "Drink ye all of it." He said, "This is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." He told them, he said, "I'll not drink it with you until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And the Bible tells us that they sung a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives.
And blessed is my Savior, and his